Every single Friday, I say to myself, you know what we need to do, Jay Ross? We need to play the full version of the Wordplay official introduction. And every single Friday, I forget to send it to Christopher Lott.
Ah,
so,
next one.
Yeah, okay. Look, kids, Big Ben. We'll get it next time. Hey, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. I am Damian Barling along with Jason H.W. Ross. We are here for the Friday, November 3rd edition of The Lowdown. Have you finished your Christmas shopping?
What?
Okay. Just throwing it out there.
Have you?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't buy presents for people.
What? Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. My family's very bah humbug. We don't buy.
You were very Christmas oriented, I guess. You took care of the staff here last year.
Well, yeah, but I don't need Christmas to take care of you guys. I love you guys.
I know, but that was
not
very
the
nice.
Staff, like you guys. Well, I didn't buy nobody else anything.
Yeah.
I don't really like anybody else here.
But you did that.
Well, of course I did.
Yeah.
And Ken
and
says,
we got drunk.
Ken says, oh, we're doing that, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know we were doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Hey, James Hamm. He'll be with us. Buy him a present, I guess.
Yeah, we could.
He'll be with us at 1:30. We'll talk a little bit about the Sacramento Kings. They don't play tonight. They're traveling to Detroit today. They got the Detroit Pistons tomorrow. Then got a couple days off before we have a fun week of home games.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City here Tuesday. And your trust the process, Philadelphia 76ers here on Thursday.
Then they go back east again for three. Like, yeah, couldn't they have just played these six in a row?
Yeah,
without coming home.
That's a weird
stretch. A lot of travel.
I didn't understand that either.
Yeah,
I was like, this is weird.
Yeah,
but I guess you still got to hit.
Yep.
Washington, New York, Brooklyn. You know, still got to hit
those
spots.
Back there.
So,
yep.
You know, Atlanta somewhere in there, even though that's kind of the South. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk NBA at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We got one final copy of WWE 2K18 to give away. We will do that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. We'll make sure you get that, and then we'll give you all of the details on if you win WWE 2K18 or you already have WWE 2K18, how you can use the Create a Superstar platform to win yourself some tickets to see the Sacramento Kings. Our Friday Five coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk a lot about Week 9 in the NFL. It kicked off last night. The second half of the NFL season kicked off last night. And how about those New York Jets? Just like we suspected. 4 wins. I think their over-under on the season from Vegas was 3.5.
They're over.
They don't get stuff this wrong that often.
Yeah.
And the way New York played last night, that's not the last game they're going to win this season.
Yeah, that wasn't a fluke. They really controlled that game. And I almost say shame on Buffalo, but actually I went, you know what, maybe not. Maybe the Jets. I mean, with the way they played, this was a great opportunity for Buffalo, but they just got outplayed. The Jets were the better team yesterday.
And I didn't think the Jets were the better team coming in.
Right, I didn't either.
I had actually bought into Buffalo a little bit.
And especially their defense. They gave up 34.
I think they really like playing at home, though. Maybe that's the thing.
That's true.
They're undefeated at home. Maybe you know, they take care of their home games, man. That's 8 wins.
Yeah.
You know, they get a couple more from there. But we'll get into that game last night. We'll talk about Andrew Luck. You know, we kind of sarcastically told you yesterday what we had been suspecting for weeks was that Andrew Luck is out for the year. I don't know that we haven't been suspecting that since we found out he wasn't going to start week one. But he's out for the year, and I think there are some other questions to be had there. I think there's questions about the way the Colts handled this. There's questions, were the Colts being deceitful in this? You posed a great question when this first came up. Is like, can you please tell us what happened?
Right.
Was there a setback in terms of, did he re-injure it somehow? Has he had a second surgery? Like, what exactly is happening here? So we'll do that here this hour. The Andrew Luck is on a long list of there is a all pro list of NFL players who have been injured this year. And I think the NFL is having the worst year they could possibly have. And the two stories that we have to lead off this show kind of exemplify that point. The first one is, not so fast, Ezekiel Elliott is playing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're thrilled that this story won't go away. When we first reported that he was going to serve his suspension, we said this is essentially an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary that connected. That's what this is. And we've said they're running out of options. They can file this appeal. There's really no precedent that this appeal is going to stand, and they got it.
Yeah.
They got it, and here we are. Ezekiel Elliott will play another hearing. So, essentially, I'm going to set the tone for you next week. Another hearing will be had. Ezekiel Elliott will be suspended again. And for those keeping track, Ezekiel Elliott has been suspended, unsuspended, suspended, unsuspended, suspended, and unsuspended again this morning.
So three times.
Three times. And next week will be the fourth.
Yeah, and it's just to the point now where, I mean, I asked you the question before, his team, the people that keep putting, getting the delays in the states and these things that gives them an extra week and an extra week, they either have to feel like they're just going to exhaust everyone else and win some way or push it back to next season or get zero games, because now all of a sudden, let's just say it does become official next week. Well, then your completion of the suspension is week 15. That leaves you 2 weeks before the playoffs. Is that what you want? I mean, it's just, if you knew that he was going to get suspended for sure, I would have already taken the suspension. But obviously they continue to fight this.
And I think there's a couple of things to be noted. I'm skimming through a statement that was just posted on the Dallas Cowboys official website about that Ezekiel Elliott put out there. Just to summarize a little bit of it, he said, "I'm not an abuser. That's not who I am. This is my name. This is my reputation. This is something I'm going to have to live with beyond football. So every day is worth fighting." So here's, I'm going to take the opposite stance, and I'm not taking the opposite stance because I'm a Cowboy fan, because, you know, particularly this year, the disgust and hatred I now have for the owner of that franchise, and he'll be a part of this story here in a second. But just looking at it from a perspective of, if he didn't do it, and this has been the question from the start, because this was a real sketchy case, and I'm not trying to determine guilt or innocence here. I'm looking at this from Ezekiel Elliott's perspective, and I'll put myself in his shoes. If I didn't do it, I will fight until I literally can't fight no more. And even if that includes taking it, I'm not, I love what Zeke said there in the sense that I'm not thinking about football. I'm not thinking about what week I'm missing. I'm not thinking about what game I'm missing. I'm thinking about me as a man. I didn't do this, and I'm going to fight this. And I feel like if he had just accepted the suspension and tried to continue to proclaim his innocence, we would have sat back and said, well, why didn't you fight it?
Right.
Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you stand up for yourself? Because I know if I was accused of something I didn't do, I'd be screaming it from the rooftops, like we hear that so often. Well, he's screaming it from the rooftops. I didn't do it. I did not do this. This is not who I am. So I'm going to continue to fight it. And in that sense, I'm totally okay with this.
I think
it makes a mockery of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like their whole punishment system or whatever you want to call it, it's a complete farce. And this is proving it, that there's no legal, and I guess to assert, there's no ethical standards for what the NFL does on a regular basis when it comes to suspending players.
Yeah, but then why the next, once it's got kind of partially it's been out of the NFL's hands, and when it gets to other courts, they're still agreeing to the suspension.
Because they're not agreeing to guilt or innocence. They're agreeing that the NFL has full authority to punish him. It's like, if, you know, when we sign our contracts here to work at KHDK, my boss has full rights to suspend me, to punish me. Okay? Well, you suspended me for something I didn't do. Well, I'm taking it to court. The court says, well, you signed a contract,
yeah,
that says they have
right.
full right to suspend you. Like, I don't know what you, they're not saying you're they're not saying you're guilty. They're saying they have enough reason to suspend you for this.
Right.
But I didn't do what they're suspending me for. Well, too bad. You signed the contract. And that's what it is. Excuse my language. This is a glorified pissing contest between the judicial system and the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. It actually makes a mockery of both. And just wait. It hasn't happened yet. It happened with Deflategate. It hasn't happened yet with Ezekiel Elliott. But just wait till Supreme Court get put into this conversation. It's laughable. It's a freaking joke. And wait till the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue starts tweeting about a running back in the NFL taking a court to the taking a case to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
how he feels about the NFL now. It's a joke.
Though I agree with you that if it were I were in those shoes and I were if I was innocent, yes, I'm fighting. What if he's not? Like, there's a lot of talk from him. And again, if it gets proven, there's been some people, you know, there's so many different layers of this because there's some people that Urban Meyer that haven't liked the way he's behaved. Doesn't mean he's guilty of this.
Sure.
There's things that have been thrown out there and other things that we literally have seen, mm-hmm. not to this realm.
Mm-hmm. You can go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I just, you better be right. If you're fighting this far, you better be right. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but you better be right.
You can be an idiot without being a criminal.
Sure, of course.
You can be a total a-hole without being a domestic abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's just an idiot in terms of the way he conducts himself.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he is. And I don't know. We're basing this information off of, you mentioned Urban Meyer. You know, still, no question and answer has ever broke my heart like the Drew Davidson question.
Yeah.
Has anyone like Jason Witten pulled him aside and tried to talk to him? And Drew Davidson was like, yeah, they did. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked. If you're not willing to listen to Jason Witten, you're not listening to anybody.
But it also doesn't mean he did what he did.
Exactly. Which is exactly where we were going here is it. And then I want to go back to the first thing you said is what if he's not innocent? And we're getting into a game of now what can be proved, right? Because if he let's from a criminal standpoint, there's no case, right?
Right.
There was never in terms of
NFL investigation said that.
There's nothing from the NFL. There's right. nothing from the police. There's nothing there. So in that world, because we're operating now in two different worlds. We're operating in the world of the NFL, and we're operating in the world of real life that you and I live in and that everybody listening to this lives in. Ezekiel Elliott has the real life, real world, and then he has the NFL world. Both of those people said, yeah, there's nothing here. There's nothing to press charges on him on. There's nothing to punishment on him, to give him punishment on. Roger Goodell is the only one who said, nah, I disagree. We're going to follow the letter of the law of our policy, which says if you commit domestic violence, you're going to be suspended 6 games. The problem is they're trying to flex their muscle on a case that, to the best of my knowledge, just running them through my head right now, is the first one that they have no proof. Like with Josh Brown, there were 21
right.
911 calls and responses. We all know what proof Ray Rice had. There was enough proof in the Greg Hardy case to put him on the commissioner's exempt list to get him out of the league. There was enough proof on the NFL case to suspend him for 10 games.
Yeah.
That ultimately, guess what? It got reduced down.
Yeah.
But they had enough with that, and Greg Hardy didn't – he appealed the 10-game suspension. He didn't appeal the 4.
Right, and in this case for Ezekiel, the stuff that was written about, not proven, but written about, seems like it's more egregious than 6 games, the stuff that was written about. But again, important to say not proven. And I think in Tom Brady's situation, he just got exhausted of it. He just got tired. He gave up. He gave up because in the end, the assumption of inflating, deflating, or PSI is not as incriminating as what Ezekiel Elliott is being accused of.
Right, and that's the thing with Brady, because the thought on – so what's – Brady takes the suspension, right? I mean, I think there's – you know, I mentioned it's gonna be a mockery when Supreme Court is brought up into this. But imagine, you know, your initial reaction when they started talking Supreme Court for deflated footballs.
Right.
It's one thing to talk about – I mean – this, to a certain degree, the NFL forgives like no other sport in the world. Like, they forgive and forget whether it's PED use, whether it's recreational drug use, or whether it's everything but kneeling for the national anthem. They forgive and forget pretty damn quick. And as long as you come back in and he runs for 100 yards, 110 yards, 115,
sure.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But there is a certain aspect. This is the man. With Brady, his attorneys had to sit down. I imagine his attorney sat him down and said, look, the perception of you being a cheater is already there. No matter what happens with these 4 games, that perception is going to be there. And the problem for you is that perception was already there because of your head coach. So we can continue to fight this. It may wind up in you serving a 2-game suspension, a no-game suspension, or a 4-game suspension. But we're going to have the only, there's only one place left to take this, to take this case, and it's the Supreme Court. And you're right, he gave up.
He just gave up.
And no matter what, imagine they do go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court, I didn't deflate footballs. You know what? Doesn't look like you did. Okay, no suspensions. The thought of Tom Brady still being a cheater is still out there.
Right. But that also was still under the assumption of, did the NFL have the right to do what they did? And that's still what we're at. And maybe we can just get some guidelines that says they're a private entity, they're a business. Yes, they can do it. Roger Goodell, as the NFL already rules it, is the guy that makes all the decisions. If courts say that he can, then maybe we won't have this. We can still disagree with any suspension he hands down. But why do we have to get this far with all these things?
Let's try this. Take the NFL out of it, right? And let's go back to the example of me and you. It's one of us. Aren't you going to fight this to the furthest? Imagine it's just a workplace issue. Aren't you going to fight this like as far as it will possibly let you?
If I'm innocent, sure.
And that's what I feel like he's doing. I think we look at it differently because we're thinking about playoffs and we're thinking about the fantasy perspective and we're thinking about all this crap that in real life doesn't matter.
Well, I guess my point would be, in the end, if we even use our example or his example, if it's clearly stated somewhere that our company would have that right to hand down, to levy a suspension, the NFL has their right to levy a suspension, then why do we get to argue it?
I think that's a great question.
I mean,
I don't
if that's
know.
What it kind of that's know. What it ended up Brady being. Not that nobody really cared about the football. It's like they have the right to hand down the suspension they did.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah,
and I feel like we should by this point because this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah,
I feel like every suspension goes to some sort of appeal.
Right
now, whether it's the Roger Goodell appeal or it's a court appeal, we've seen both.
Yeah, and maybe Ezekiel's people wants them to say that, like, hey, it's an NFL. You're playing under their umbrella. They have every right to do it. Then if I'm Ezekiel's lawyers, I say, perfect. You guys have all the rights to do whatever you have under the players' union, under ownership, under management of this entity that is the NFL. Then I would say, okay, the one person you had from your group that was evaluating this scenario didn't see a right for a suspension.
That, I think, is the biggest problem that the NFL is facing right here is that Ezekiel Elliott's attorneys brought this forward like, hey, Jerry, remember how confident Jerry was? Well, there was a reason he was confident.
Sure.
He had probably been told flat out, yeah, there's nothing here. We're not going to suspend him. Jerry, to this day, says Ezekiel Elliott committed no crime. Well, we know why. Because the woman who was investigating all of this said he didn't.
Yep.
And if I'm Ezekiel Elliott or I'm Ezekiel Elliott's attorneys, yeah, I'm going to fight that. How do you investigate a crime, conclude there was no crime, but still punish the man for it? Dean, thanks for calling.
Well, the Deflategate thing, once everybody found out that every game, different quarterbacks inflate the ball to the way they like it, Tom Brady had to do something because it looked, because they, like you said, the Patriots already have that cloud over their head. I don't understand. I agree with you. I think the pissing contest that's going on here, it's not going to go to the Supreme Court.
Hey, Dean, do me a favor. Dean, you sound a little distant. Can you try to – it sounds like you're not talking directly into the phone, man. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that.
There
That's
you go.
Better.
I think it's just a bad connection. The Supreme Court's not going to see this case. They only go to the Supreme Court if the case merits it. The Supreme Court kicks lots of stuff back to the lower court. The part of it that I don't understand, and you brought it up, is if there's something in the contract that says they can do that, why hasn't the NFL suspended him and then let him fight it out to get reinstated? That's the part I don't understand. If in the real world, if I signed a personal services contract that had some sort of a morality clause or whatever, a personal conduct clause, and I went out and did a rager and a martini lunch at the Esquire Grill and got all crazy, then my company could say, look, you're Dean, we're letting you go. You violated your contract. That's a part of this that I don't understand. Like you had said, Jerry Jones has already said there's nothing there. The people that have investigated it said there's nothing there. Well, then why? Is this the NFL? You know, the NFL's got a bad habit of saying, you know, they come down on one rule and they let something else totally slide.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, Ray Rice got away with punching his wife until the video came out.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
He even admitted. even admitted he did it. They punished him, and then the video came out, and they're like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a part of this. Are they worried? Is Goodell saying, "Well, I got to stick with this because if we don't do it, I don't see what to come out of it. If everybody involved already said there was no crime committed, then why are we wasting time? There's no way he's going to get suspended. They're not going to let one of the best running backs in football not be on the field, especially when the NFL's having trouble putting people in the seats. I mean, you turn on the TV now on any given Sunday, some of these stadiums look empty.
Yeah, Dane,
even though it's a different, you're saying it's in a court, it's away from football. You know how this stuff works. There's a lot of, you're talking about millions of dollars involved in this player and millions of billions of dollars in the NFL. You know as well as I do that, people are talking about, hey, we need to get this, we'd like this to go this way,
Yeah, no, Dean, we appreciate you, man. Thank you, as always. I don't believe courts get involved in. I mean, I feel like we're getting into conspiracy theories if we talk about courts getting involved in like caring about the caliber of a football player.
I sure hope they don't.
I mean, I know I read a story after. It's hard to keep track of
the
suspensions.
But there is privilege.
Yeah, I've read stories that. This judge helped with, so-and-so's deal with such, like there's a tie to everything. And I don't know how legit this is. All I know is if I'm Zeke and I'm innocent, I'll fight it. Like, there's a text right here there's some four-letter words involved in this text, and I'm just going to kind of summarize it here, is what we just said. He's a freaking idiot. Okay, that doesn't mean he should be suspended six games, for being an idiot. If he hit a woman, and if he hit a woman, if the allegations that are laid out are 100% accurate,
it's worse than 6 games.
He deserves much more than a six-game suspension. But so far, everything from people significantly more qualified than you or I or anyone, most people listening to this program has determined, it's not. Okay, so we're dealing with 6 games. But I didn't do anything wrong. And here we are. It's literally Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Over and over again.
Yep.
And it's not the only thing that owners in the NFL are going to have to deal with. This is a really bad year for the owners, both on it. It's a really bad year for the NFL, both on the field and off the field. We'll explain next. Jason and I would like to thank those who take the time to call and leave voice messages regarding...
Yeah.
Regarding the two of us, and
very supportive,
this wonderful radio station. We want to thank those who take the time to tweet and call as well. As a matter of fact, Dan, you have been holding for quite a long time, man. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Hey, grew up in Connecticut, been a long time, lifetime Jets fan, and going into this season, they had such incredibly low expectations. They were talking about them tanking the season, and if you look at even the games they've lost, I mean, they're 4-5. But they lost to Miami in overtime, which they should have won. They had Atlanta beat last week. And if it weren't for some terrible officiating, they had New England, too.
You're right. Yep, they sure did.
They could very easily have six or seven wins. So with that being said, I'm not crazy. I know they're not going to the playoffs because their schedule's brutal. But has there ever been a 4-5 team that you had to throw their coach in the conversation as coach of the year?
No,
no,
you know what? I'm not going to argue that at all. We thought this team was going to lose every game. We heard that conversation for an entire offseason. We kept hearing tanking. Matt Forte was like, dude, we're not tanking. Woody Johnson or whatever the Johnson who has a team, we're not tanking. They're not.
Their over-under in Vegas for the year was 4 wins,
yep.
And I was ready to back up the truck. Good thing I didn't, man. Hey, have a good day.
Hey, Dan.
You too.
Hey, Dan. Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan. Hey, Greg, thanks for the call, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Good. Hey, just about the Ezekiel Elliott stuff, I mean, whether or not he did everything that they are supposedly saying, it's probably somewhere in between what he said and she said. And that means he did something wrong, not counting the float incident, the bar fight, everything. Dude should be suspended.
Yeah. I don't think
six games is a lot, but I mean, come on.
But that's the thing, though, Greg. If you're right and he did do something, then it's six games and there's no conversation because it's domestic violence, period. I don't think there's levels of domestic violence. A first offense is six games, and that's period. But remember, you mentioned the float, you mentioned the bar.
That's not part of it.
That's not supposed to be a part of it.
And this suspension doesn't even include any of that.
Right.
So, I mean, his character does not prove any benefit of the doubt that he's on the good side of this. So,
but it also doesn't prove he did it.
Right.
I mean, it's sad it doesn't.
No. And if he's innocent, I want to say he's innocent. However, the things he's done afterwards have not helped his case.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's a fair point that a number of people have on the text line has made, and that Jay Ross has made as well. We appreciate you, Greg. Thanks for the call, man, and thanks for being patient.
You guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too, my brother. Have a great weekend. It's like, hypothetically, what if DeMarcus was accused of a crime,
mm-hmm.
right? Wouldn't people's first response be, oh, great. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. But he's like, no, I didn't do it.
No.
Yeah, but look at your mopey ass attitude. You threw your mouthpiece at the Golden One Center. I heard Isaiah Thomas didn't like you. There were rumors Rudy Gay hated you. Ben McLemore peed his pants every time you walked in a room. But I didn't do it.
Right.
You can't punish him because he's got a bad character.
Sure.
Ezekiel Elliott, maybe it appears he has a bad character. That shouldn't factor into this.
And conversely, people could have the perfect image and then have one awful
Tom Brady.
Yeah. One awful
Captain
infraction.
America.
I mean, you know, probably the most is OJ one of the most famous ones? I mean, that was a pretty good track record he had that we knew publicly, right?
Yeah.
And then
that's the one.
Right.
That's the standard in which all criminal activity is judged by.
Yeah. I mean, he was
with athletes.
Pretty well loved.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, no, come on. He didn't do that. And you start digging, there's a little more there.
But if it was someone from the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Our thought process on that is different.
Yeah.
Because again, OJ was beloved. Like Jack Tatum, I don't know who,
yeah.
just the dirtiest member, just the
right.
nastiest member of the Oakland Raiders team. Same thing. Oh man. Yeah.
That's the way they know. That's how they play. That's their image.
Awful.
Didn't mean it.
Awful. Yeah, it's one of the many problems that the NFL is facing. And you know, we've had a number of questions come in here. Why do players are able to take this thing cases to court when the NFL is a private entity? It's the union that's taking it to court on behalf of Ezekiel Elliott. So when you read all of this stuff, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott's name is plastered out there, but it's the NFL Players Association that is doing it on his behalf, and that's how all this stuff gets to court. The bottom line is the NFL PA is going to have to decide how important Roger Goodell's power is in the next CBA, because we talk about it seems like when we talk about Roger Goodell's power, we talk about it for a really, really long time with isolated cases. So if the owners go, look, man, you want to negotiate the collective bargaining agreement? Cool. You have a problem with Roger Goodell's power? Fine. We'll create a committee. But your contracts are staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving you guaranteed money. Well, no. We want guaranteed money. Then Roger Goodell has absolute power. That's how all of this stuff works. So when the collective bargaining agreement comes up in 2021 and Roger Goodell and DeMaurice Smith and everybody has got us ready for the impending lockout, remember this moment right here.
Exactly.
They want guaranteed money or more guaranteed contracts or more financial security or whatever. Remember, when 2021, that lockout finally ends, whenever it may be, the collective bargaining agreement wraps up, the commissioner will still have ultimate power, because I just can't see this something that they budge on.
Yep.
Because when the commissioner has ultimate power, what that really means is those 32 owners have the ultimate power. We have heard and we've told you that Ezekiel Elliott was going to be hit with a big punishment because Robert Kraft was pissed off. We had heard Tom Brady's suspension was going nowhere because there were owners still pissed off about Deflategate. This is all a – you think what's going on in D.C. is politics?
Mm.
Go inside to these owners' meetings. This is true politics in America. That's these guys are jockeying for position for their franchises. Did you read the story that Jerry Jones was referring to himself as the ranking owner? Did you see that story?
I did not.
There's no such thing as a ranking owner.
But if there was, it would be him.
It would be Jerry, right?
Yeah.
How a billionaire in a room full of a bunch of other billionaires, mostly, how do you think they took to saying, I rank over you?
Oh, I know how they took to that, if that was said.
You know, I'm the ranking talk show host here at KHDK.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a freaking thing.
Right.
How do you think the guy in the afternoon feels about
right.
that? How do you think the guy in the morning feels about
exactly.
that? I'm guessing they're not pleased.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing those owners are looking at Jerry like, oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Raj, six games is good with us. Just leave that there. And now we have subpoenas going out to Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, Bob McNair, Paul Allen in Seattle, Jed York in San Francisco. Their phone records, stop me if you've heard this before, their phone records need to be turned over to Colin Kaepernick's attorney. By the way, happy birthday, Cap. It's his 30th birthday.
Today?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Old and washed up.
Yeah.
Can't play in the NFL. It's a damn shame he wouldn't fit in that Texans system. They'd have to adjust the whole scheme for Colin Kaepernick to come in there and do what Deshaun Watson was doing.
This one's interesting to me. This next level.
This.
Because.
One mistake. That's all you need.
Yeah.
In this collusion case is one mistake.
That's, to me, I think it's a really difficult one to prove. We can all have our assessments or opinions on what we think they did. But that, whether there's an email trail, those guys aren't going to give up their phones. Why would they give up their phones?
Is that obstruction of justice? Because remember, well, this is court now. This isn't NFL. Like, this is a court. Is that obstruction? Roger Goodell said, look, you're not cooperating with the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give up my phone.
Right.
I wouldn't give up my phone to anybody. Not because there's anything on it. It's just I don't trust anybody.
Right.
I'm like, whoa. You want numbers that are in my phone? Like, what? No, you can't have it.
You know, hey, stranger things have happened. Is someone planting something?
Yeah.
Is there, you might find something that you don't want other people to find besides what they're looking for. Yeah.
I left my Twitter account open once, and Chris and Jenna went to town on it.
Yeah.
Like, no. No, man. Anyways.
Yeah.
This is a bad look for the NFL. Like, it's just bad on top of bad. You know, here we are 41 minutes into the show. Good football game last night. Good mention for the Jets. But the two top stories are litigation pieces with Ezekiel Elliott and now the Colin Kaepernick collusion case.
That's football in 2017.
And I've maintained it's going to be next to impossible to prove this. Just to give you the full story, those owners that I mentioned will be deposed and asked to turn over cell phone records and emails only in relation to the Colin Kaepernick So this is what his attorneys are asking for. This is the next step for them.
Cell phone records, but how could you even? Yeah, I called the Titans owner, or I called this. I mean, what are you proving there?
Is there?
I called this owner. I didn't call. I mean,
is there a succession of phone calls where you call? You know, Jerry Jones is calling Robert Kraft, and then he's hanging up and calling Bob McNair. Then he's hanging up and calling Paul Allen. Then he's hanging up and calling the owner of the Titans, and then Dan Snyder, and he's calling, you know, all of these people all in a short period of time on the day after the season, the day after Cap kneels, the day after Cap opts out of his contract, the day after. Whatever.
I think that's so easy to disprove, though. Like, yeah, we were talking about how
more.
Are we going to handle this?
Couldn't agree
if
more.
If our rest of our guys do this, I mean, that's an easy cover-up.
I love this guy. If Kaepernick was a good quarterback, he would have a job stop already. We still believe that. There are still people that believe
that. They do.
Matt McGloin was signed yesterday.
He was.
But you still believe that. I can't help those people. Those are your people, not mine.
Mine?
Actually, they're Chris's. I can't
Thank
help
you.
Them. We'll be back with more of the Lowdown next. Ain't nothing going on but the bomb-ass rap song. We got a copy of WWE 2K18. I'm going to get this read right at some point. WWE 2K18. We got that coming for you at the very top of the 2 o'clock hour. James Hamm, your resident Kings insider from NBC Sports, Doug Christie's partner there, along with Jim Cosimore on television. He's going to join us at 1:30. We'll get into some basketball. It's top of the 1 o'clock hour. Spent a lot of time talking about football. Spent a lot of time talking about the litigations in football. It's amazing that people still don't know the truth. We're not talking cap. There's other things to move on, but it's amazing how people still regurgitate the same things and hate facts.
Yeah.
Like, they hate the fact that John Lynch has publicly said he was going to cut Colin Kaepernick. They hate the fact that Cap opted out of a contract that was going to pay him absolutely nothing. People still regurgitate, oh, but he quit his job. Imagine quitting your job, not being able to find another one. No, that's... I thought we dispelled that a long time ago. Like, why don't we listen?
Yeah.
Why do we only hear the things we want to hear instead of the things that are pertinent to the conversation?
Well, a lot of people are guilty of that. I guess we're all guilty of that.
I guess. But we appreciate everybody listening, texting, and doing all that fun stuff. Even if I text back little snotty-ass remarks, I really genuinely do appreciate you. We lost. That's a hella gloomy way of putting it. I apologize. Deshaun Watson went out with an ACL yesterday.
It felt gloomy, though, yesterday.
Dude, I went back. There's always certain points in the show that I want to hear, and it's normally when something important pops up while we're talking. It's like, I don't know, did I handle that well? Did we handle that well? And I went back, and I was listening to the 5 minutes before, the moment after, before we went to break, and then the first 5 minutes with Nate, man, Nate Lundy, who was on with us yesterday at 2 o'clock. And, man, the tone of the show changed so much when we read that tweet from Ian Rappaport that said Deshaun Watson was out for the year with an ACL tear. And as soon as we got Nate Lundy on the phone a few moments later, you could just hear, you know, as football fans, and this is the term Nate used, and it's perfectly applicable, it was just a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the, you know, in a year where it feels like, you know, with lawsuits and court rulings and massive injury, this was like a good spot, right? This was like one of the true, like, this is a cool story. Kareem Hunt, the rookies, right? Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt, another.
The future of the league.
Cool stories. And him going down with an injury yesterday. And when you saw the response on Twitter from guys like outside of the sport of football, I was like, man, this was a big one. This sucks. But he's joining a long list. Odell Beckham Jr., Aaron Rodgers, Joe Thomas, Eric Berry, J.J. Watt, David Johnson. Remember way back when Julian Edelman got hurt, Jason Peters got hurt, Spencer Ware got hurt. Anybody talking about Kareem Hunt? Anybody remember Spencer Ware? Remember that guy?
Was going to be the starting running back.
The top quarterback in Kansas City before he got hurt, and obviously Andrew Luck isn't going to step foot on the football field this week. That's an all-pro roster
Oh, for sure.
That's an all-pro roster of injuries.
And I don't know what it is. I feel like we get more bothered by the person that gets hurt in practice that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, Bridgewater was doom and gloom for sure because we knew that was very serious. This one was the gut punch that you referred to. It's like, oh, man, non-contact in practice?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other guys got hurt too, but we saw it. We saw Barr tackle Rodgers. We saw OBJ's leg kind of get a little tweaked. We saw Watt certainly get hurt on a misstep, and you're like, oh, man, there's more there. And just, I don't know what it is when you don't see it. Sometimes when you see it, it's worse, like in your mind because you remember it. But I don't know why I feel badly for guys. And they're all bad, but to get hurt in practice and a non-contact.
I would equate this one in follow me here, because I think I made this comparison the day after the start of the NBA season when we opened that show talking about Gordon Hayward's injury. You're not there, like, there's no imagination to it. Right. With what happened with Deshaun Watson, what happened, you know, the Teddy Bridgewater one, you're reading words. It's like reading a book. Right. It's powerful. He planted his right leg, his feet, and you're putting the scenario together. I guess in this case, it is all your imagination.
Yeah.
Right. He's planting his foot and you're running through it in your head. Whereas, you know, J.J. Watt, you could see J.J. Watt kind of coming off the field and you're wondering like, oh, man, maybe it's not as bad as it looks. You see Odell Beckham Jr. crying. You just, oh, man, maybe it's not as bad as it looks. With Gordon Hayward, like, there's no question about it.
Yeah, we knew that.
You know, I think it's the person's reaction causes us to react a certain way. And then within practice, man, just putting together the scenario in your head that you didn't see.
Yeah.
Is
plus we had about a minute of hope, only hope, and it was reported they're going to do an MRI. I'm like, if they've already reporting this much, and then it was a minute. No, it's confirmed.
Someone had already texted Schefter.
Knew.
Yeah, someone had already texted Schefter, hey, this is happening. He's literally
it's
in
bad.
The doctor's office right now.
Yeah, but even just the reaction you read, like you described, like he was just down and then not really making a bunch of noise. It was just kind of seated there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came by, and it's like, okay, there's something going on. Like, he just, you know, some guys yell, some guys cry, whatever. It just, he was just kind of subdued.
I think there's moments of, like, I go, you know, we talked about it. Not, remember Jeremy Lin?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Jeremy Lin got hurt, and it was like the second game of the season or something, and or the second night of the season. He tears his ACL. He goes down, and he I can't remember the words that he used. He's like, I'm out, man. He said something like that, like, I'm out, I'm gone. And he's totally calm and totally relaxed. And then all of a sudden, it's like it hits him, and he reacts to it. I wonder, I wonder in that, like, did Deshaun go down and he's thinking, oh, my God, like, something's wrong. Don't move. Maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. Because, you know, it's what Doug said. You know, we had the chance to do 2 hours yesterday with Doug. And, you know, the first thing Doug said when we brought that up, athletes know.
Yep.
They always know. Like, go back to Chris Paul's thumb. That'll always be one of the most glaring to me when Chris Paul, I think he hurt his thumb.
He did.
And in the playoffs, and he reacted in a way he knew.
He was mad.
Like he knew he wasn't playing.
Forget the pain. Like he spiked the ball. He was just mad at the situation because he knew he was done.
Walked straight off.
Yeah.
Didn't stop at the train. Just walked straight into the locker room. Yep. And it was that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's out. He's gone.
Yeah. But you're right. It was one of the football needs some good stories. This was a good one. Deshaun Watson was becoming a stud right in front of our eyes. I mean, he was really changing the outlook of that organization, and to have an injury like this. I mean, you could argue, was that the best game of the year? I mean, it was one of them on this last Sunday. That Texans-Seahawks game was
absolutely
as good as it gets, and he was a big part of it. The game they had earlier this year with the Patriots that he nearly won, he's been playing great, and it's one of the feel-good stories that ended too soon.
And think about the Seahawks. Think about that team.
Yeah.
In Seattle, by the way.
Very impressive.
And you get comments from Doug Baldwin, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, Richard Sherman. Those guys, especially Richard Sherman and those guys on the defensive end, they don't compliment other players.
Right.
So Richard Sherman was talking about, oh, that kid is the future of the league.
Yeah.
That kid is everything right there. He's one of the toughest quarterbacks I've ever had to guard. That's spectacular. And 1 week after that, something was on. Was it I don't remember. It was game seven.
Yeah, yeah.
Game seven was on. It was boring.
Time. Yeah.
And the replay of Seattle was Houston, and Houston was on. I was like, well, hey, if you're bored, flip over to the NFL Network and watch this. And, you know, here we are a couple of days later, man. It stinks. We're going to shift gears, talk NBA. Oh, there are some Laker haters who couldn't be happier today. And the weird start to the season in the NBA continues. We'll touch on that as hour number two on this Friday kicks off next.